How do people change? How can you change? You've been wanting to shed a few kilos, but you never seem to manage to get to the gym. You're fighting with your spouse over some minor thing again, and you realize that you've been stuck in the same pattern for years. It's late one night, you're feeling pretty low, and you find yourself online following that same sequence of websites till you're at that porn site you keep coming back to. Whatever it is, all of us experience that gap between who we are and what we do and the person we want to be, the person we know we could and should be. All of us know that change, deep change, lasting change, it's really hard. How can you change? Is it even possible to change? Well, over the past few weeks, we have been looking at our vision as a church for the next 4 years. You can find our vision booklet up the back. If you have not got one of these, can I commend it to you? God has called us to be the light on the hill. That's how our city sees us, as our church is flooded, shining over the city at night. Christ is the light of the world, and in him we can find our life and our light. And through him we can know God as our Father and ourselves as his dearly loved children. And so we hold out the light of Christ. And our mission, as Andy's mentioned, is to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ, even you and me. Last week we saw how we might see people drawn to the light of Christ, how we are welcomed and loved by God, and so we can welcome and show that love to others. This week, we are looking at that second movement in our mission, to see people transformed by the light of Christ. And so we're asking that question, how do people change? Because that's what we want to see in our lives, the lives of others, transformed for the good as they encounter the light of Christ. And whether you've been a Christian for many years, or if you're new here, you're checking this whole Christianity thing out, my guess is that that question, how can I change, is a big one for you. I know it is for me. There's two parts to that question. First, what is the goal or direction that we have as human beings? If we're going to change, what are we going to change into? And second, how can we move towards that goal? So we're going to look at each of those in turn. Those two questions are distinct, and yet they're intrinsically linked to each other. And you know what? The scriptures answers them together. Have a look with me at our key verse for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And here it is, and we, who with unveiled faces all contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Verse 18 is one of those key verses of the Bible. I'd encourage you to read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest this verse. This is how we as a church will see people transformed by the light of Christ, how we ourselves will be transformed by the light of Christ. And so we summarize this second movement, how we're transformed like this. We gaze upon Christ, growing more like him to be secure, humble, generous children of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered what God's plan is for your life? Maybe you're kind of in the early stages, kind of thinking about work and family and whatnot, or maybe looking back at the twists and turns of your life. Well, this is it. God's plan for your life is that you would reflect His glory. Isn't that magnificent? His plan is to make you more like Jesus so that you would reflect His glory. His plan is to transform you more and more into the likeness of Christ. Each of us is made in the image and likeness of God and crowned with glory and honor. That's what the Bible says we are as human beings from page one. It's the basis of human rights that we so value and treasure. And that is the incredible dignity and worth that God gives to each person. But tragically, that image is cracked and tainted. Each of us falls short of the glory for which we're made. I'm sure you know that in your own lives. We all fail to love our neighbors as ourselves, let alone love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus. He is the true image of God, the only one who's truly and wholly loved God and loved his neighbor. And God's purpose is that as we give our allegiance to Jesus as our King, as we trust Him as our Savior and follow Him as our Master, then He will work to restore that broken image in us. Jesus, you see, shows us how to be truly human. And this is what the Christian life is all about, changing and growing to be more like Jesus. And you feel the energy and life in Paul's language as he writes these verses. The Christian life is not drab or boring or joyless. God's purpose is not to spoil our fun. It is to make us shine with His glory. And you know what? I have to say, this is one of the singular joys for me as a minister here at St. George's. I get to see God's glory shining in your lives through you. I see it as people reach out to welcome the stranger, as people take care and delight in our kids. I see it as people learn to say no to self-destructive behaviors and yes to obedience to God. I see it as people persevere through great suffering and hardship. I see it in the small, unnoticed acts of generosity and thoughtfulness toward others. See it in decades of faithful prayer. I see it in people comforting others with the comfort that they've received from Christ. I see it in tireless acts of service. And you know, I've not named anyone here, but there is, so as not to embarrass them, but there is someone behind each of those statements here at St. George's. And I'm not even scratching the surface. Are you looking to see God's glory in others? If you stick around, just out of the corner of your eye, you might catch a glimpse of it. The glory of God shining through others around you, your brothers and sisters here. It's magnificent. God's plan is to transform us so that we can shine like stars in a world that's so full of darkness. And it's not just at church. In our workplaces, our schools, our families, our neighborhoods, our world needs us to shine. It needs people who are secure in who they are as children of God, who don't need to prove or justify themselves, but are able to bear up with grace and courage under pressure. Our world needs people of deep humility who lift others up, who don't think less of themselves, but think of themselves less. Our world needs people of abundant generosity who spend themselves in the service of others, who give themselves to make this world a better place. God's plan is to transform us to be more and more like Jesus so that we more and more reflect his glory. That's where we're headed. That's the goal for our lives. At least that's God's goal. And I hope that's what we want for ourselves too. So the question is then, how does this transformation come about? Well, our text tells us. First it says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit who transforms us into the likeness of Christ. It's not something that we can do of ourselves, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's only and always the gift of God. And I have to say, I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit is the one who does this transformation and work to change us, because I know it is so hard to change my own heart and my life, let alone to see that change happen in someone else. But you know what? God says that he will change hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. He'll write his law on our hearts and move us to keep his laws and commandments. And if Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, then surely that same Holy Spirit can change and transform you and me. And so we pray and we ask, God, please change me. Change those around me. But this doesn't mean that we are passive in the process of change. Did you see how it is that the Spirit does his work of transforming us? We who with unveiled faces all contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed. The Spirit changes us as we contemplate the Lord's glory. The picture that Paul uses here is that of Moses in the Old Testament, who used to go into the tabernacle, into God's presence, and speak with God. And when he came out, his face was radiant, shining with the glory of God, so much so that the Israelites said, please put a veil over your face because it's too bright for us to see. And Paul says, when we turn to Christ, we contemplate God's glory, then like Moses, we will reflect that glory. This is how we change to become more and more like Christ and reflect his glory. We contemplate his glory. In fact, one of the ways of describing the goal of Christian hope is to see God face to face. The book of Revelation puts it like this. Now the dwelling of God is with people, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face. That's what we want, isn't it? In the end, to see the face of God. Christian tradition has called this the beatific vision. And Paul says that in contemplating Christ, we can encounter God and see his glory. In 2 Corinthians again, he says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Now, of course, this side of the new creation, our vision of God's glory in the face of Jesus, is, not to put too fine a point on it, partial and fleeting. It is always disappointing. We want more. We want to see God face to face and not have that vision kind of taken away through whatever else. Again, Paul says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face." As some of you know, if you've been here, we've been on holidays in the UK, went to the British Museum and saw a mirror from the ancient world. When we think of mirrors, we think of something with it's like amazing glass. There's like that silver paper or whatever it is, and it's a wonderful reflection, right? In the ancient world, they didn't have that. They had bronze mirrors, and you polished them up really shiny, and that was what you saw your reflection in. But it wasn't that great. Certainly the one in the British Museum wasn't that great. Anyway, that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, in our experience of life today, of God, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. Although this side of the new creation, our vision of God's glory in the face of Jesus, is only partial, we always want to see more. Nevertheless, it is still transformative. It is as we see Christ that we see his beauty, his majesty, his power, his goodness, his love for us, that our hearts are melted and drawn out to love him in return. And that is because his glory is to love the unworthy. His glory is to forgive the guilty. Even folks like you and me. That's the wonder and majesty of Christ. His love for us. And when you experience that kind of unconditional love, well, you can't help loving him in return. Encounter Jesus. Contemplate him, see his face, and you will be changed. And we have a great story of that in our gospel reading today. Zacchaeus, this greedy extortionist, collaborating with the Romans to fleece his own people. And what happens when he encounters Jesus? His life is turned inside out. Upside down. What does he say? "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone," which my goodness he certainly had, "I will pay them back four times as much." Absolutely radical transformation. Greedy extortionist to generous benefactor. That is what Jesus can do in each one of our lives. Now, it is not as often in our lives that it's an instant thing like that, like Zacchaeus. It's often a much more slow process, a gentle burn. I think probably a lot of us, that's a bit too painful to change that much that quickly. And God is very gentle with us by the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, that is his purpose, to change us, to transform us, so we shine to be the people he calls us to be. He's created us to be. If it's through encountering Jesus that we are transformed, the question is, how do we encounter Jesus today? And the answer is through the means of grace. At least that's what theologians of the past have called it. What are the means of grace? Well, it's just a kind of neat way of talking about the ordinary things through which we slow down to gaze on Christ, which the Holy Spirit uses to transform us to be like Christ. See, our problem is that we have really short attention spans and forgetful hearts. There's all sorts of things that compete for our affections and promise transformation and satisfaction only to let us down. And that's why we need to keep coming back to see Jesus. So we can think about the means of grace as spiritual disciplines. They're spiritual habits, like going to the gym or brushing your teeth. We work at making them part of our daily, weekly, yearly routines in the ordinary stuff of life so that we can keep recentering on Christ morning and night. Like going to the gym, over time they build our spiritual muscles so that we grow into healthy, spiritually healthy people, secure in who we are as children of God, humble, generous. These spiritual disciplines or means of grace engage our heads and our hands, and through them our hearts. So Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Through the means of grace, our minds are transformed as we encounter Christ in word and sacrament and song. Through the means of grace, we learn how to offer our bodies as living sacrifices in worship to God. There's six spiritual disciplines or means of grace that I encourage everyone here at St. George's to practice as you're able. Corporate worship, that's what we do as we come together on a Sunday. Personal prayer and Bible reading. Bible study groups where we meet together to wrestle with God's word and to grow together. Serving in ministry, that's where we learn to offer ourselves, offer our bodies in worship. Giving generously, that is financially. So we exercise our dependence upon God for his provision and as we give to his work, and then our gracious witness as we shine the light of Christ, speaking of the glorious things that he has done for us to those around us. Do you want to change and grow? Well, give yourselves to these means of grace. Through them you will encounter Christ. I have to say, they are not flashy. This is not necessarily a mountaintop experience. They are that day-to-day, very ordinary things that the Holy Spirit will use to transform you. Well, that's about us as individuals. What about us corporately as a church? How will we see people transformed by the light of Christ? Well, we're going to work on four strategies, and you can find them in the vision booklet. Number one, by making Sunday a highlight of the week, by creating a culture of sharing and celebrating how God is transforming us and is at work in our lives. That's why we hear from people like Andy about what Uni Fellowship is doing, things like Spur and others who are doing different things around. But also we hope to hear from people with stories in your lives of what God is doing at work in you. There's no greater investment that you can make than to grow spiritually and to help us grow as a church than by coming each week. And I have to say, it is magnificent what the Holy Spirit does amongst us as we work together. So we'll work hard at making Sundays the highlight of the week. Last week, When I came to Sunday, you know, there was a whole bunch of things going on for me. I was thinking about all sorts of stuff. And yet, through church, even though I'm kind of running the show and whatnot, I found it did its work on me. There was a peace, there was a calmness, encountering God together. Just magnificent. Although very, very ordinary, I have to say. But that's how God's at work so often. Okay, so number two. By growing and refreshing key ministries and teams to be purposeful, connected, and sustainable, including our servanthood through the servanthood pathway, which you can see on the last page of the booklet. God transforms us as we serve. Sometimes we just have to get things done at church, but on the whole, we want serving to be a joy and not a drag. And so we're going to keep working at building our teams and our ministries so that we all find that joy in serving. Number three, we'll be developing and implementing a sustainable long-term plan for youth ministry. We don't just want to grow as adults who are here in our service now. We want our kids to grow as well. And in God's mercy, there's been a lot of great work done in Kids Church over the last 4 years, and it's in quite a healthy place. But we've struggled with keeping our and investing in our teenagers. So that's going to be a focus for us over the next 3 years. And number four, by expressing our prayerful dependence on God, by establishing and maintaining systems and ministries that facilitate informed and regular prayer. It's been one of the things that was an unexpected boon with COVID. We started weekday morning prayer on Zoom, and we're praying a lot more now as a church than we were before COVID. But there's still more for us to do, more that we can grow in. And of course, it's God who gives the growth. We can't grow spiritually or numerically without Him. Everything that we have is from Him. Through prayer, we are brought again into dependence upon God. And at the same time, it is our greatest privilege. And God delights to answer if only we would ask. And so we're going to be continuing to invest in this area. And I hope we can grow together as a church in this. So speaking of which, let me invite you tonight in our parish room. We've got a prayer meeting. We meet once a quarter to pray for the needs of our church and the needs of our world. So you're very welcome, 7:30 p.m. How will we be transformed by the light of Christ? Well, we gaze upon Christ, growing more like Him, to be secure, humble, and generous children of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God loves you. He loves you and welcomes you just as you are. But He loves you far too much to leave you as you are. He's got so much more for you. He wants to transform you so that you reflect the glory of Christ, so that you shine like a star in this dark world. He wants you to grow. And my prayer is that each of us will give ourselves to those means of grace so that we can give ourselves the best opportunity to contemplate Christ, to encounter Him, the Holy Spirit at work in us, to see Jesus and be changed by Him. So why not start each day with a prayer? Lord, today, make me more like Jesus and show me where I need to change. And may God do His work of transforming us to be more like Christ, that we may reflect His glory, bring His light and life to our neighbours, our city, and praise to His name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for that magnificent picture, the incredible dignity and worth that You place on each of our lives, made in Your image and called to reflect Your glory. Please change us, transform us in the power of Your Holy Spirit do more than we can ask or imagine so that we may know you and we may shine with your light. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen.